And welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the people, issues, and topics that are important to you. And we're just early in June right now, so we know June is known for a lot of things. The start of summer vacation, you know, all sorts of things. But it certainly should be known for this, because it is National Family Month. And today, to talk more about it and what it means for kids from all sorts of families, we are joined by Hillary Bridges, who's the Assistant Executive Director of Kids Crossing. Welcome to The Extra, Hillary.
Thanks for having me.
And a little later on, we're going to be hearing from Kids Crossing Placement Coordinator Ben Schock. He's going to be joining us at the midway point. But Hillary, let's start by talking about this. What is National Family Month and what makes it important?
Yeah, I'd love to. National Family Month is marked at the beginning of National Family Month is actually Mother's Day. And National Family Month runs the five-week period between Mother's Day and Father's Day in June. And as you mentioned, it kicks off around the beginning of summer when families are starting to spend more time together, although we've been doing that for a little while with the current health concerns going on. But the focus of National Family Month is on giving support to families, particular caregivers, moms and dads, as the most important support system for our children and our community. And it's meant to celebrate the strength of families and as a time to get creative and offer ideas on how we can better support our families during these challenging times.
And it certainly has more significance at this time, this juncture in history, than probably ever before. Families being reliant on each other because so many people were forced to stay away from all other individuals or groups because of coronavirus.
Right.
And tell us a little bit about Kids Crossing. How did Kids Crossing come to be, and what is Kids Crossing?
Kids Crossing is a child placement agency. We are a nonprofit. We've got four now in Denver, Colorado Springs, Pueblo, and the La Junta office. And we were founded by foster parents, for foster parents to be able to have a place where foster parents could get support and things that they needed to be able to care for the kids in their placement to their best ability. So we license foster families, and then we give them a variety of support to them and to the children in their homes already, and to the children in their homes that are being placed there. We offer support by way of therapy and in-home crisis management if they need that, and just really try to wrap around our foster parents and our foster kiddos.
Because a lot of these families come in and they may have issues that crop up that require family counseling. But with COVID-19, I'm sure you're seeing a lot of unexpected troubles and pressures pop up for families. What are some of the most common impacts?
Yeah, I think there have been a lot of challenges. And I think we've seen kiddos having a hard time not being in their day-to-day routine, not having those extra people that you said are often involved in helping a child and a family, teachers and coaches. Are not having contact with their kiddos. Kiddos aren't having contact with their friends. And so I think we see children struggling and managing those big changes. And I think we're witnessing parents being, frightened for their health and for the health of their children, perhaps worried about meeting financial needs because of changes in work and layoffs and such. So I think we're seeing a lot of stress, and as well as just navigating the world and how it's different now, and being all together is such a wonderful thing, but it comes with some challenges also. We're we're used to having some breaks when mom goes to work and, and kiddos go to school. And now we have the added stress, or did have the added stress, of homeschooling children and navigating work from home. So we've seen a lot of those situational stressors related to COVID-19, certainly.
Well, and I'm a parent of a teenager, so I can attest that I'm one of those who has seen the togetherness be wonderful, a blessing, but also
absolutely
leading to more stress because, you know, my daughter says I'm always at some point turning the conversation around to grades or to, you know, and that was when school was in session. So what would you say are some recommendations for parents to relieve some of the stress in the home?
Well, I think it was, you know, maybe 2 weeks ago when school was still in session, I would recommend really sticking to a schedule, which now is a little bit more challenging because we don't have school to sort of anchor our day for our kiddos. And I know I'm a mom of two small children, and that's a challenge because I still have work to anchor me through the day. So I would suggest trying to find any kind of consistency you can and predictability throughout the day. That's really regulating to not only, you know, the parents, but also to children, to know what to expect and what's coming throughout the day. I would really recommend, if families are struggling or if they are experiencing a lot of these stressors and having a hard time, is to reach out to people in the community, to your support systems, to community partners like Kids Crossing and others around our community. And don't suffer silently. Even though we are at a distance physically, doesn't mean we can't or shouldn't be connected as much as possible. And, you know, I think as much as we can, I'd recommend to families to try to find moments of really genuine connection and really try to be present and mindful in those moments of connection with the family, because ultimately those are really rejuvenating when we are fully present and connected and enjoying our family time, that those really help fill us up. It's trying to juggle school and work and also, you know, being with your kids that can feel really overwhelming and often feels more stressful in the long run than when we can really focus on some quality time with our family.
Well, I tell you, you are speaking to an audience, at least here in the radio booth, that really is receptive to what you're saying. Where can folks go for more information?
So Kids Crossing has a website, www.kidscrossing.com. We also, even though our doors are closed right now, we have in all of our offices wonderful people answering those phones and getting people connected with services and support as we can. So I would encourage people to pick up the phone and call if they feel like they need some support.
All right. Well, Hillary Bridges will continue on with us here on The Extra. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking about the clinical services that Kids Crossing does have available and as to whether or not they are offered just to foster families. We're going to be talking about that, but definitely as we mark National Family Month, the period between Mother's Day and Father's Day, encompassing both, encompassing, you know, all the wonderful things that our families provide to each member of the family. And keep in mind, we are talking about all sorts of families, working parents, single parents, mixed ethnic, racial background, same-sex parents, all facing perhaps challenges right now, but all being celebrated during National Family Month. You're listening to KRDO News Radio's The Extra. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the people, issues, and topics that are important to you. And today we are marking pretty much the midway point, maybe towards the latter part of National Family Month, a month that is meant, a period that is meant to mark and celebrate everything that makes families special and to strengthen those bonds. And certainly when it comes to strengthening those bonds and finding unique ways to do it, Kids Crossing is an agency, an entity in our region that provides services that do just that. Hillary Bridges, the Assistant Executive Director, is joining us today on The Extra, talking about what Kids Crossing is doing to help providing that support. And Hillary, we were talking before the break, we know Kids Crossing started, it sounded like, to provide support and I guess a sounding board for foster parents who are going through this process. What kinds of clinical services does Kids Crossing provide to families?
Yeah, we have a large clinic in most of our offices that has a variety of services. We offer individual therapy for anyone in the family, whether that be the kiddo that's placed or another maybe sibling in the home or for the caregivers themselves. So individual therapy for really from three and up throughout the lifespan. We also offer family therapy, which is really important. And family therapy here is offered to not only our foster families that have taken in children, but also to the biological families who are being asked and need support in giving them skills and support to address the needs that led them to a removal of a kiddo that they are caring for. So we also offer support to do what we can to get families back together when there's been a separation like foster care.
Because it is a transition, right?
Right. Our goal is, honestly, our goal is to get kids back with their homes when that can be safe and appropriate. We believe that attachment is very important, and we try to offer support to first off make sure that placement can remain stable, that everybody in the foster home has the support they need so a kid doesn't have to move for whatever reason. But we're also working to support the biological families to do the work they need to do so that they can offer safe, stable, and nurturing homes, and we can return those kiddos back to that home when that's safe and appropriate. And we also offer those services before placement occurs. We believe in offering some preventative and prevention services so that perhaps we have identified a risk and a need, and we can maybe meet that need before a kiddo has to be removed. So those are some of the varieties that family therapy can take. We also offer some group therapy for adolescents. And we have a program called Family Preservation, which is an in-home service that comes into a family's home in times of need, in times of high crisis or high stress, and offers support and problem solving to help decrease that stress and conflict in the home. And then that department also offers a service called Life Skills, which is kind of exactly what it sounds like. It's a one-on-one service that comes to the caregiver or to the adolescent to teach things like budgeting, teach skills for resume building and interviewing so that these caregivers, parents, or young adults learn the things necessary to be able to create safe, stable homes for their future families or current families.
Okay. And Hillary, this all sounds incredible, especially for families that are finding themselves struggling right now. So are these services only for foster families, or are they expanded to who else could partake of these?
Absolutely. We are absolutely available to support any community member in the communities that we serve. The four offices I mentioned earlier, our main funding source is Medicaid. So the population that we focus the most of our support is on people who are on Medicaid, and you do not need to have department involvement or have to have a kiddo and out of home placement to engage in services with Kids Crossing. In fact, we would love, if you're struggling and need support, for you to reach out to us long before we get to that point.
Yeah, well, and it certainly is the goal to prevent any kid from getting to that point. But we do know that in this community, unfortunately, many kids have experienced a significant amount of trauma, and some at very young ages. What constitutes as trauma when you are providing these kinds of services and support?
Yeah, trauma is a real subjective experience. So it sort of depends on the person experiencing the event. That is to mean that you and I could experience the same event very differently, and I might find it traumatizing, and perhaps for reasons you might not. But we define trauma as anything that overwhelms someone's ability to cope with an event that occurred. And sometimes those events are one single event, and sometimes they are, like you alluded to, starting from a very early age and much more pervasive throughout the development of a young person. And we really at Kids Crossing, from everyone in the building, anyone in our agency is trauma informed, and we focus on making sure that we can help address anyone in our office in a very trauma informed way.
And I should mention that when you're talking about this, there are services that Kids Crossing is providing. We're not talking about kids experiencing trauma and not providing some sort of answer or solution or way to cope with the problem. We're not talking about let's just present the problem and not provide any answer to it. Coming up after the break, we're going to have more on the answers that are coming from Kids Crossing. That's after the break as we continue our focus on National Family Month here on KRDO News Radio's The Extra. We need to take a short time out for these messages. We'll be back at the other end. And welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with people, issues, and topics that are important to you. And today we're talking about a topic that really can't be emphasized enough. It is National Family Month. It is not technically a month. It's more of a period of time between Mother's Day and Father's Day when many in the serving community set aside time to focus on what makes families important, special, and how to strengthen those bonds that lie between all of us families in our family relationships. And we're talking right now with Hillary Bridges, who's the Assistant Executive Director of Kids Crossing, one of the organizations that does so much in our community to help provide that safety net underneath our families. And we were talking before the break on, what pressures that you've seen, especially as we are going through the COVID-19 pandemic time. And we were talking about how Kids Crossing helps kids deal with childhood trauma. What are some of the ways that Kids Crossing is stepping in with that help?
Yeah, so we, as I mentioned before, all of our services are trauma-informed. We also offer specialized treatment to trauma. All of our staff, all of our therapists are trained in EMDR, which stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And that is the therapeutic tool used to help people process trauma they've experienced. So that is one of the tools we use. We also offer a trauma-informed parenting class we use called Trust-Based Relational Intervention, and we offer that class to anyone caregiving for a child who has experienced trauma so that they can do what they need to do in the home to help these children heal.
And we know that as we go into the summer break, and even during the time of the COVID, normally a lot of times how childhood traumas get reported to the proper agencies, such as police or investigative agencies or the DA's office, is because there is a mandatory reporter at school or through some sort of organization that they might be seeing in a structured setting that has to report when they see something troubling. As we are heading into this and continuing with the COVID pandemic closures, but as we are heading into the summer months, what do you worry about? How can the community play a role in making sure families are supported and kids supported during this time with no mandatory reporters really being in the mix?
Yeah, I think we're going to rely pretty heavily on our community. If you're a neighbor and you're concerned, you can reach out and report anything that you believe might be child abuse. You don't have to be a mandated reporter to make a child abuse report. Those reports are anonymous, and then they have skilled investigators that come in and evaluate the situation, and most importantly, try to help the families better meet the needs and stay safe to ensure that our kiddos are safe in home. So it's a time when we're really going to need to see the community step up and advocate for our kiddos that might be in some unsafe situations.
And I certainly would urge our listeners to take that information to heart. And if you do want to find out more, you can go to kidscrossing.com. We'll make sure that we have that site link up on our podcast link so that people who want to listen to this again can do so and can go to that link. We want to bring in now Ben Schock. He's able to join us now on the phone, who's the Kids Crossing Placement Coordinator. And Ben, families, we know, come in all shapes and sizes, and we need to recognize that parenthood is a challenge. You at Kids Crossing obviously help oversee as kids transition to those types of new environments. Sometimes they're temporary foster homes. How do you help the kids in that transition time?
You know, I think we really try to, you know, make sure that we, you know, put them into the most appropriate home that we have available to help them in their current situation and to be there as a kind of a soft landing place for them to be while their families, you know, work on a number of different issues that kind of led them into coming into foster care. And so, you know, up front we do a lot of kind of prep work and interviews and kind of vetting and a lot of engagement with our families that are going to be taking these children in. And then, you know, we do our best on the front end to kind of match them up with a good place to be that is going to meet their needs and meet them where they're at kind of emotionally and developmentally and, you know, chronologically as far as their age goes. And we try to make the best fit we can there. And, you know, once they get into one of our homes, we try to engage the family and support them and help them recognize things as they come up. Our foster families and our foster parents, they're really the eyes and ears of you know, child welfare and child protection. And if they see some, you know, behaviors or things that maybe seem out of the ordinary or abnormal, we want to be able to advocate and put the right services and address things as come up for the children and for the families.
Regular listeners of this show know that I'm a huge fan of the movie Instant Family, which is all about providing support for foster families, but it also shines a spotlight on reunification and why, in many cases, reunification is a priority. Because at every turn, foster care is about returning kids, if possible, to their biological parents, their family. Why is that held in such a place of prominence?
You know, I think where children belong. I think that's the natural order of things, is for children to be with their parents when it's safe and healthy, and you know, when it's whenever it's possible to do so. Then, you know, I think that should be the goal for a lot of organizations such as ours. I think one little known kind of part of foster care in general is that, you know, even when foster children come into foster care and they're working with the biological family, the family of origin, they're also working, you know, extended family members to see if you can't be with your family, your mother or father or parents, then maybe you can be with a grandmother, and maybe you could be with an aunt or an uncle or a neighbor or a coach or a teacher or someone that's significant in your life. And, you know, we help work, you know, with transition towards those other natural supports out of foster care too. So, you know, we want to support those kind of relationships, and, you know, the shorter amount of time you can spend in foster care, the better for any of these children, if they can be with their family members or someone that's a caring adult that they would have a relationship with, and it's safe, then they should be there.
Mm-hmm. And there's half siblings, there's all sorts of, like you said, relationships that are out there that, that groups like Kids Crossing works to support. What services are available to provide that support of families that are working toward reunification?
And I think Hillary did a good job of touching on the clinical services earlier, and it's the same level of support that we offer for our children in care and their families as we would you know, other, you know, the general public. But, you know, if there's family therapy, there's, you know, individual therapy that can work with both caregivers and with children and work through some of the issues that may have led to foster care, or kind of work towards reunification as far as relationship building, expectations, setting boundaries, you know, household rules, those types of things can all be addressed in, you know, a family therapy setting. Or you also have in-home services, family preservation was mentioned earlier, life skills, those types of things to kind of strengthen the core of the family and put skills and supports in place in home, where, you know, going to an office sometimes, or maybe even nowadays on the COVID-19 situation, there's telehealth or video sessions, but sometimes, you know, we work, you know, safely opening the community, and those in-home services, you know, at some point will return, and those play a vital role in strengthening families and aftercare. When a child returns home, there's, you know, there's still things that need to be worked on and addressed, and there's services and available for that as well.
What pressures has COVID-19 created in family visitation and foster care?
You know, I think that, you know, we're dealing with the same issues as everybody else around us in our community. And, you know, as we address kind of community health situations and safety for everyone, we definitely, you know, we want to make sure that we are advocating and protective of our more vulnerable population of children and caregivers. And we want to make sure we're vigilant and we're aware of things around us. And so, you know, I think there is some creativity there because we want to make sure we aren't exposing people to unneeded, you know, dangers or situations surrounding the, you know, current status of the virus. And, you know, we've tried to become, like I said, creative, and we've offered, you know, more video kind of teleconferencing.
Televisits,
we've done,
mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah, and more things maybe outdoors. We've started to, you know, open our office up slowly and offer some in-person visitation to families to come in and, you know, as sterile environment as we can possibly offer. So I think we're trying to take steps in that direction to kind of normalize things, but it definitely is a process and it's a little bit of a journey to get there. But, you know, I think that along the way we're trying to maintain and respect everybody's relationships and do the best we can and keep everybody safe and healthy at the same time.
Right. And we know it's a journey for foster parents too. And so how's Kids Crossing made it easier during this challenging time for them?
You know, I think we try to engage our foster parents and support them in a variety of different ways. I think we're always available. We have people who are on staff that are, you know, coordinating things on a daily basis. We have, you know, 24-hour, you know, 7 days a week emergency support for any of our homes that come up. We've done all creative things around, you know, providing meals and recreational kind of, you know, activities for families and engaging them through the, you know, going through the school year. We did some work with making sure they had enough, you know, electronic devices and internet accessibility to be able to finish off the school year in a strong manner. And, you know, I think coming into the summer months, I think we're going to continue to do the same. You know, we normally in a normal year, we have a lot of in-person, you know, events and, you know, there's coordination around, you know, summer picnics and those kind of things. And we're going to have to get in a creative way to make sure they're able to bring people together and make sure that they know that they're supported and things are available to them kind of as we head into the summer months and things still aren't up to full speed as they once were in our communities. But we're trying to be aware and vigilant and work towards getting back there.
Well, and we certainly applaud those efforts. Again, the website is Kids Crossing. Ben, we're going to be talking to you some more after the break. We need to take a quick message. But perhaps you're listening to this. Perhaps you're going, foster care is something that I've always thought about doing. I think I have a lot to offer as a foster parent. Perhaps you're interested in learning more about it. Stick around because we're going to be talking about what is involved and how you could perhaps become a foster parent. You're listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. We'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back to The Extra, the show that focuses on the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. I'm your host, Shannon Brinius, and I'm joined right now on the phone by Hillary Bridges, the Assistant Executive Director for Kids Crossing, and Ben Shook with the same organization, who's the Placement Coordinator. And Ben, before we get to a few of the questions here, I want to just emphasize to our listeners, according to the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Dave Thomas being the founder of Wendy's, who also adopted a child, there are now more than 150,000 children waiting in North America's foster care systems, looking to find permanent homes and loving families, of which foster families can provide that shelter. And just on a personal note, my own grandfather, he was essentially orphaned at the age of, I think it was 12 or 13 during the height of the Depression. And if not for his foster dad and foster mother providing a home at that critical juncture, you know, I probably wouldn't be here. So I always get a little weepy talking about the wonderful parents who and families who come to the rescue of kids who are in this situation through no fault of their own. So Ben, tell us about, you know, for those who are listening, what makes or who makes an ideal foster family?
You know, I think that, you know, the word ideal kind of in front of a foster family is a little bit of a misnomer. You know, I think that there, you know, there's, you know, anybody who has a heart that can, that wants to help children and has the ability to and the want to, and they will have the, you know, the space and all the other resources that they may need for a child. I think that they, you know, would be an ideal candidate to explore foster care and, you know, to see if they can open their home and their heart to a child in need. So I think that that is the first step is, you know, there has to be a heart for it and you have to be, you know, driven and have a passion for this. You know, and the second piece is, you know, that openness and that willingness to take a chance and, you know, extend yourself a little bit and get out there and be there for a child that needs you in this moment.
And there are certifications and trainings that need to be obtained, correct?
Yes, we have, you know, an application process that includes, you know, a number of different background checks and whatnot. We have to make sure everybody is safe and embedded in that way. And then we do a lot of interviewing and home study process that includes, you know, a number of face-to-face interviews that goes through the history of a family and gets into their background and their own story. And that really helps us, you know, match up the kind of families with the kids we want to work with and you know, serve the population that is in need. So it's a little bit of a process, but you know, again, it's definitely not impossible, and it takes a little bit of some time, but it's not very long. I think, you know, the average time is between 3 and 6 months at the most, and you know, part of that is again waiting on the background check information to come back and going through the interview processes.
And certainly after you have that open heart and willingness to provide that foster care and then you obtain the certification and are matched with a child or maybe more children, what happens then? I mean, are the foster parents on their own or is there other support that's offered?
You know, I think internally at the agency, we definitely have, you know, the same supports that we would offer any of the other situations we discussed earlier, you know, therapeutic supports. We have, you know, case management supports. We definitely do a lot with advocacy. We communicate, you know, on a regular basis with all of our families and homes regarding just kind of day-to-day activities or things that they see pop up. And we are able to, you know, be a go-between, maybe between the foster families and the children and maybe other professionals or entities that may be involved, the court systems, you know, Department of Human Services, those types of people are also involved. So we want to make sure we are, you know, working together and, you know, have a seamless plan for these kids and to support our foster families. And, you know, in turn, again, we're looking for permanency. And if that's with the family of origin, biological parents or biological extended family members or a kin-like person, we want to make sure that we're on the same page working towards those same goals.
Oh, so much information here, and certainly we salute all the work that you're doing. Again, their website, to find out more, just go to kidscrossing.org. I'd like to thank our guests for today, Ben Shock and Hillary Bridges. Thank you both.
Yes, no problem. And we really appreciate this, and thanks for giving us your time and the venue, and anytime you want to bring us back, you know, feel free to contact us and we'll come back on.
Well, and I very much hold close in my own heart my own foster great-grandfather, Gus Brennius. He was a wonderful man, and certainly, you know, all the foster parents who do this work, as well as those who work with them, and to also make sure that our kids are in safe places and safe homes. You've been listening to The Extra as we mark National Family Month here on KRDO News Radio. 9:58 is your time.